Considered this morning a prophecy of Palm Sunday recorded in Zechariah chapter 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. Political candidates are spending billions declaring, "I'm the one that can set the right course for America and save her." But Zechariah, the prophet of Holy Week, lays before us Jesus' saving humility. Verse 9, lowly and riding on the colt of a donkey. For like a colt, he was born to be a bearer of burdens. That's why the Lord says, "Behold." Zechariah must have been scratching his head. This is a king? Israel wouldn't have recognized it. So they had to be told, "Behold, see, this is how your king will come to you." Not as a politician boasting about how he will solve the problems of this world in this world with pork barrel promises and vague generalities that don't deal with any of the issues. Not as a conquering hero on a prancing stallion with an army behind him to impose his will on all. No. Verse 9, he is just and having salvation. Jesus came doing what is right, doing what is just for every one of us, that indeed his righteousness might be supplied as ours. And yet, he suffered for it. For he wasn't accepted and treated like a king, but arrested, framed, condemned, nailed to the cursed tree, and mocked. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. The disciples all believed that Jesus was certainly just and righteous, and yet they also concluded that his cause was lost, that he'd failed. The Emmaus disciples summed it up: "We trusted that he was the one who should redeem Israel." Yes, everyone could see his humility, but Zechariah also foretold he would have salvation. For having borne the burden of our sins, the Father raised him from death to declare the world righteous. In him, you have been declared righteous. Verse 10 goes on to describe the peace of this king. "I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." It's interesting that this prophecy of Palm Sunday is sandwiched between a prophetic description of Alexander the Great thundering across Palestine, imposing fear, slavery, or death upon all. And on the other hand, the terrors of the Maccabean Civil War that ensued in the following centuries. And so it is that the kingdom of God in this world always appears like a little rowboat caught in the hurricane of the world's tyranny. Like a defenseless flock surrounded by devouring wolves. Like Judah, we also are surrounded by the world with its imposing weapons, and so are often tempted to take up their weapons, the bows and the chariots, the backstabbing gossip, biting sarcasm, and feuding rivalry. The world says, divide and conquer, seize what you want, fulfill your own pleasures. But Jesus does not establish his kingdom with those weapons of this world, not with horses and chariots, nor with computer-guided missiles and F-15s. But verse 10 says, by speaking peace. And so Jesus spoke to Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight. For this purpose I came into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Even from the cross, he spoke that peace. Father, forgive them. Yes, the politicians shout for their own glory. Jesus comes in the saving humility that gives the peace of sins forgiven, that unites us in that peace that passes understanding, that leads us, even when oppressed, to speak to one another of his saving peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. We'll conclude with hymn 161, stanzas 1 and 3.